Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is January 21st, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you here listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you use, or by going to motorvitality.com, where you can listen to literally years and years and years worth of archives. We've got nearly 10 years worth on there. So, you know, I think it'd be kind of interesting to go back 10 years and listen to some of the early ones. We used not to name them. It's kind of interesting. We did this for 3 or 4 years where we just had a date on, and you can't get those on the podcast. Those aren't available. Only about a year and a half are on the podcast app. But they're just a random kind of a shot in the dark on what you're going to get if you go back and just click on one of those old date ones.
It's like a box of chocolate.
It would be. It would be kind of interesting to go back sometime to listen to that. But anyway, I definitely appreciate it. We didn't send out a reminder this week, I don't think, and yet here you guys are. And so I have to start off by saying how much that means to me. I really appreciate the fact that you guys put this on your calendar and you find value in it. And my goal is always to make sure that that you leave here with information that is at least as valuable as the time that you're giving to us. So thank you very much. It means a ton to me, and I know to the Motor Vitality team as well. All right, so with that, I'm going to start to call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that they wish they had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country? Or any questions we can answer for you.
All right, I've got something for you today.
All right, go ahead. Right. Just Breon?
Yes.
Yep, we were just talking about that topic.
Yes.
Go for it.
Okay, new construction, did a quote, and it had an expansion tank already there from the builder, but it was just hanging from a PEX line like a speed bag or one of those punching bags in a gym. And so I told the customer we would strap that up or just secure it a little bit better. And we did an install. And it turned out they had a leaky overflow valve on their furnace because whoever installed the furnace set the heat at maximum. But they called their warranty company to come look at it. And the warranty company said because we touched the furnace or sent water to the furnace, like water softeners are supposed to do.
Furnace or water heater?
Water heater.
Water heater, yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, standard installation, but during that standard installation, nothing special except we did move the expansion tank and use a brass 90 on it to actually bring it up to code so it wasn't hanging from a PEX line, and secured it to a joist. And they said that we voided the warranty because we touched the water heater.
Okay, so let's talk about a couple things. First off, let's, in case people are not aware of release valves on a water heater or what an expansion tank is, let me explain what those things are first and foremost, so that we all have a picture of what we're looking at. Okay, so anytime you heat water up, it expands. And so water heaters, you always see a pipe come out of the side of a water heater that has a pressure release valve on it. And that's so that if pressure builds up too high inside of a water heater, water will come out of that pipe down the side. It usually sits over the top of a drain, or it's usually just a copper pipe that runs out of the side of the water heater, and it's got a spring handle on it that you can lift up and let a little water off of it. That's what that is. It's a pressure release. In some places in the country, in addition to having that pressure release valve on the side of the water heater, they also require by code that you install what's called an expansion tank. And an expansion tank, so this looks like a little pressure tank, like a little one-gallon pressure tank hanging off the side of the water heater. Okay, and usually somewhere near the top, it's going to be plumbed in. You don't see this in, I'd say most areas of the country, I don't see it, but you do see it in places like where you're at, Brian, in Midwest and on occasion other places. But what this thing is, it's essentially, it looks like a little storage tank, like a little RO storage tank, because that's essentially what it is. It's got a bladder in it that lets water in it and then pushes it back out. It works a lot like the overflow on the radiator overflow on a car. Okay. So you know how when you've got that radiator overflow, I don't know if some of you have seen that, but water heats up in the radiator too. And this is the overflow bucket that allows the water to expand as it's circulating through your cooling system on your car. And so that's what this expansion tank does. Now, the issue that Brian's talking about here is this customer had a leak. It's a new construction and they had a home warranty on it. And so it's interesting to me because generally speaking, the builder will cover, I mean, the builder's liable for pretty much everything usually within a year or so after building the house anyway. So was this a spec house, Brian, that had sat for a year or longer or close to it before they moved in? Do you know?
No, I do not. It did not sit vacant for long. It may have been a spec home, but things are selling quick in this area.
Yeah.
I didn't ask that question. But this home warranty company, the builder is providing, it's a small builder, so he probably found it cheaper just to outsource the home warranty instead of doing it himself.
Okay, so that makes sense. So so what happens, this is not uncommon. Now, I've seen home warranty companies especially will look for every opportunity, every reason possible to deny a claim on something. You know, obviously they lose money when they have to replace stuff, you know, so much like insurance companies will do, you know, that's one of the problems with insurance companies. You pay into it. And then they will look for opportunities to, you know, to deny those claims. I don't know. It's an interesting system, but I've seen that happen with septic systems that, you know, big time septic systems fail and it's blamed on the water treatment equipment. And in this case, water heater, you know, because Jen asked the question before we started recording, you know, had the customer taken the anode rod out, because that will technically void warranty, even with soft water, is if you pull the anode rod out, unless you replace it with a factory approved rod that's designed to work in soft water. You know, so there is a risk there. If somebody is just pulling the anode rod and just simply cutting the rod off, that does void the warranty. Now, how they would check, you know, that's another issue, you know, how they would verify that. But in this instance, they're looking at this and saying, well, you changed the water, you softened the water, you had a water softener installed, which changed the quality of water. You know, therefore it's the water treatment company's fault. We're not responsible for it. This is why customers get very frustrated, because we get, you know, and it happens with them too. Okay, they are, plumbers blame us, we blame plumbers, septic system companies blame us. We don't blame septic system companies usually, but you know, it's like they, you know, nobody wants to take responsibility for sometimes, you know, the fact that sometimes things just go bad, right? They just fail. With things like, first off, on this one, I think it's pretty clear based on the information that you've given that they would win any litigation that went to that. Now, whether that's worth it or not, I don't know. But it would be, you know, very interesting to see if there is verbiage or something written in their home warranty that very specifically says that you have to have hard water running into a water heater, which is kind of nice because we've got things like the Battelle study that, you know, WQRF, the Water Quality Research Foundation, did a study very specifically on this issue that shows that, you know, the very real impact that water quality has on water heaters. And you can find that study at the, WQRF.org. Thank you, Jen. And same thing with the septic system study as well. That might be information that you can provide to your customer so that, you know, to help them in their journey, you know, to show that there are expert pieces of, you know, professional pieces of information out there that can help them in their journey as they get this fixed. Now, it is another issue. Is the customer coming back and saying that you are responsible, that it's your fault and that you should have to replace it?
No, they're fairly level-headed about it. Their whole thing is, the guy that they sent out from the warranty company was very young and was on the phone with his boss the whole time asking him what to do and what to look for.
Yeah. Right.
So they're thinking that they're just trying to get out from having to pay. And, you know, honestly, the pressure relief valve is, what, a $20 part?
Yeah.
You know, so they're just concerned that they're going to lose their warranty.
I see. Yeah. Right. So, and you're right about the pressure relief valve being just a little bit of a, you know, it's a small issue. By the way, speaking of that, if you ever fiddle with that thing, especially on an old water heater, and it gets a piece of debris or it doesn't seat itself or whatever, it will drip. So be very careful about opening that thing up and touching it, because it will one little bump on it sometimes and the thing will continually drip, and then you are going to be responsible for replacing a pressure release valve. But you're right. That's a very easy component to replace on it. And if it came down to it, you know, that's probably what I just do, you know, but, it is important though, to be aware that, there is information. You are going to get blamed in the course of your career. You're going to get blamed for this kind of stuff. You know, you are going to get blamed for, you know, our companies, our businesses are going to get blamed for other people's work. I'm working with a client in New York right now where just yesterday we had a situation where the customer called. The company had done service last week, in just servicing, changing filters, sanitizing a reverse osmosis and changing filters. And then they called and said there was a leak. And so we went out the next day, and sure enough, there had been a little drip. Now, a week and a half later, the customer is calling saying that little drip dripped all the way down through the sink, through the drywall, down into the basement and onto some of the carpet. Now, what do we do in this situation? What do you guys think? How does my client handle that? How should they handle it? Whose fault is it? I mean, what questions should be asked when we're looking at whose responsibility it should be?
Well, I think, sorry, I got all choked up. I think in the first place that taking pictures,
thank you,
like when you go, is really important. And I mean, this is off subject, but example is my brother detailed cars, and he detailed somebody's car. And then they came back and said, well, he took the paint off of a certain part of the car, and he took pictures before and after, and the paint was already bad in that, and it was on the armrest. But the paint was already missing prior to him detailing the car. So he had the before and after pictures. And I think that that's really important, even when going on service calls, is, okay, we had a little bit of a drip, but this is all that it was.
Yeah. So you got a little ahead of me on the solution to that, Jen, but you're absolutely right about that. That's one of the pieces of advice I was going to give on this definitely, is that anytime you are going out, and this goes for service department, those of you that are in leadership or management positions, here is something I strongly encourage you to do. But even you as a sales professional, look, we run into this. I think we mentioned this a couple weeks ago on this call, in fact, as a way to look for opportunities. But this is actually really true. You go out there to that, you know, on your sales call, and they've got an old softener, and you are talking to them about replacing their equipment. But you also notice that the storage tank right next to it on the well is rusted and looking really old. This is why it is really, really critical. You know, maybe it's dripping. Maybe you notice a line, you know, coming out of that. This is why it's so critical to take pictures, to detail that, to mark it, to mention it to the customer and document that it was mentioned. I mean, it becomes really, really important, because I have seen it many times, many times. I wish I could say that it hadn't happened, but I've seen it many times where the customer, you know, we go in and we install it and we look at this beautiful new equipment and we put it in there. And then 2 weeks later, the pressure tank goes bad, because that's what it was going to do anyway. Even maybe it was already giving them problems, but we didn't document it or make a note of it that it was dripping or leaking. And now the customer comes back and says, it was working perfectly fine. And so now, obviously, we didn't break it. Obviously, it wasn't something we did. Obviously, it was 15 years old. But whether the customer is trying to get something for free or not, and sometimes they do. Sometimes they're, look, I mean, we are aware that sometimes customers will be malicious about it. You know, they are trying to get something for nothing, to get you to replace that. Sometimes, though, they just simply may not understand all the equipment. They don't understand what all that stuff is that's down there. I mean, that I would say that is the case most of the time, that they just don't have an understanding of what all that stuff is. It's all part of the well system, the plumbing system, you know. And so suddenly they've got a component that's sitting down next to where we did all the work, as beautiful as it was, as nice as the equipment was, and they're going to blame us. And if we then say, oh, we're not fixing that, or now it's going to cost another $1,200 for us to fix it or whatever, now they're upset. And now that there go your referrals. And nowadays they're, goes possibly the review that they, you know, that they went on, they go online and say they broke, you know, they came in and yeah, they installed equipment and charged me $4,000, and then they broke my pressure tank and wouldn't cover it. Now, obviously we didn't, but the having to go back and battle all of that. So Jen, to your point, the pictures, documentation, talking about all that stuff that's there, it's really, really, really important that we do all of that. So going back to the situation with the sink here, what should we do? What questions should we ask the customer, or should we ask our service team, to determine whether, first and foremost, you know, if there's significant damage? I had a customer one time when I was in sales, huge house. We did a ton of work. They had a polished cherry floor. Like cherry, it was their floor was cherry in their billiard room, and we installed the reverse osmosis at the bar in their billiard room. And one of the John Guest fittings that we put in had leaked and flooded their floor. And that we ended up having to send that to our insurance. It was definitely, yeah, it was a fitting that we put in. You know, it wasn't our fitting, but it definitely was one that leaked. And And we, you know, so we were responsible for it because we had carried it. Sometimes we are responsible. I mean, anytime you're dealing with water and you're installing stuff, stuff is going to leak sometimes. This is the nature of our business. Stuff is going to leak. But how do we determine whether it's us or them, you know, or something else? What questions should we ask? So you're right, Jen. Pictures, that helps prevent it. And that helps document it when we have it. But in this situation where we do not have pictures, what do we do? Anybody have any ideas? Stacy, I know you've dealt with this. You've been here long enough that you deal with this kind of stuff.
I keep on my laptop, I keep all the pre-photos I've taken. Our problem is getting copies of the photos after the installs from the service guys to see things. So there have been times that my GMs walked up and said, I know you've got photos. Send them to me. And I do for the pre, but it's getting – we actually had a service manager that when he stepped down, and it was mutual, he did not want to be service manager anymore. He deleted everything on his laptop. So all the install photos that had been done for like the previous 3 or 4 years were all gone.
Do you have, is it your company policy that the service technicians take pictures after every install?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And okay. They do send them to their boss. And they send them to one of the customer service reps. They used to be really good about sending them to us. But on our new computer system, the paperwork doesn't print out with who the sales rep is.
Yeah.
So they don't always know. And some of them, even when they did know, didn't send photos. But they do send them to their boss. So it's, you know, we try to work on document, 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 document. You know, you got to have everything.
Yeah.
Breon,
I'm sorry, Breon, does your company require pictures after the installs?
Yes.
And so you have before and after pictures in all the file, in all the files?
Yes.
Yeah. What about for Stacy and Breon and anybody else who's on with companies? I'm curious about this as well. Are you also doing after a service call, taking pictures after a service call?
Hey, Kelly, Chris Wells here. We've been doing it for 2 years now.
At service calls as well as installs?
Not service calls. That's kind of a good idea, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Go ahead. Chris.
Breon, if I remember correctly, that I think that your company does require after any visit that they are uploaded to their CRM, that's all part of the checklist, is photos after any time they step in the home.
I know definitely if we do any work there. I'm not sure if they just go in and consult with them if they take pictures.
Yeah. I think documentation is really good. And I have to agree with Chris. This is not something that I have recommended in the past, certainly after installs. I'm glad to hear that you guys are taking pictures. We should definitely be taking pictures before and after. On the installs, especially if there is something, like I said, that we are not responsible for doing, but that a customer could misunderstand and think that we are responsible for doing. Jen, I keep thinking about when you were here, you and I went down to and parked in New York. I had the scratch down my car, and the valet brought my car back. The scratch had been there for quite a while, but the guy brought my car back and I said, dude, what the heck? And the look of panic on the guy's face for a second until I said, nah, that was there. I'm kidding. But it does happen. I know it happens. That's, you know, that kind of thing. And there's no way to show that it was there or not there. And customers sometimes do that. So it just highlights the importance of, of you know, some customers will continue to be a jerk, as opposed to me that just had a moment of jerkiness there. Jen was going, oh my God, don't do that to this guy. You know, I think it is really important that we document everything. So going back to this situation that we have in terms of questions, first and foremost, I think we do have to narrow down and look at it. And in this situation, you know, this is where we go to the service people and say, okay, did you see any indication of dripping that was there? I know for me, I'm going to personally go out and look at this and see if there's evidence of it having dripped long before we did RO service. But regardless, because this my client here that we're working with did not take pictures of this service call, it's probably going to look as if it were you know, our responsibility because we didn't document it. I mean, we had a, you know, it's very likely, very possible. I can't say likely, but there's no way of saying that it didn't happen. That it was dripping, it was leaking. We went out, did the RO service. It was a small leak. Didn't notice it because it wasn't dripping from the service. And then the customer takes an opportunity to blame us for the leak. Hey, this is leaking. It wasn't leaking before you got here. Because it wasn't documented, there's no way. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened on this one. Actually, on this one, based on what I do know, I think it probably was one of the John Guest fittings that we used wasn't shoved in all the way. It is really important on those John Guest fittings to make sure that if you're hooking it and unhooking it with those John Guest fittings in terms of leak, just another little piece of tidbit of information, if the ends of that hose are scratched up, it's going to drip. Or if it's going into those things at a steep angle, you know, a sharp angle, it's going to drip. The lines on those, they're pretty good. They're good for compression fittings. They're easy to hook up and everything, but they will, you know, they can create drips. So I think the lesson learned at the end of this is, we don't want to be like the warranty company trying to deny everything and not replace it, but we also don't want to be out there having to replace other people's mess ups. So that's where, when we are in the home, because we know we're going to get blamed for things, because we know that things do happen, that's where documentation comes into play. It's really important, Jen, like what you're talking about. Document, document, document. Pictures, in writing, everything. Any final thoughts or comments on this before we end? Yeah, go ahead. Please, go ahead.
Real quick, Kelly, I got a footnote on that. We actually had a court case where a customer accused us of doing something because of an RO underneath a kitchen sink, and it was all floor that we'd taken pictures beforehand, and I went back out and did a follow-up the next day, and they said that we never did follow-up, we never did this, and it actually went to court, and because we had the pictures with timestamps on them,
perfect. Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to say that never happens, that there are no customers out there that do that. But unfortunately, you know, you do have those out there. So Chris, you're exactly right. Too much information is not a bad thing when it comes to documenting what we're doing in people's homes. So anybody else? Guys, this was not the topic that I had intended to talk about today. I was actually going to talk about doing follow-ups and how to schedule them and when to do them. So I think that's what we'll talk about next week. Brianna, I like this, though. This was a really good topic. And I actually learned some things and pulled some ideas out of this myself. So thank you, everybody. I really appreciate it. Have a great week. Be safe. And we will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.